This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And tonight at 8 o'clock at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is in the old post office building in downtown Urbana, is going to be the next concert in the Piper's Hut concert series, which is mostly traditional Irish music, but then some other things as well. And the group that is going to play tonight is called The Outside Track, and they have folks from Scotland, Ireland, Cape Breton, and Vancouver, and they represent a number of different musical traditions. And there are five members in the group, and they're all of us with us. They're all of them with us on the show today in our studio, and they're gearing up to play for us live for the hour. I'm really looking forward to it. Hope that you will be too. Here is another traditional Irish musician. He is harpist Derek Bell, best known for his association with the Chieftains. And this is a tune called Brigid Cruis by Turlough O'Carolan. We just heard harpist Derek Bell, the long, long-time harpist of the Chieftains, in a tune by Turlough O'Carolan. And somebody here, I'm sure, can correct me on my pronunciation. It looks like Brigid Cruis or something like that. From a disc called A Celtic Evening with Derek Bell, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. On our show today, we are pleased to have the five members of a group called The Outside Track, who are playing at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock as part of the Piper's Hut concert series, which offers some often quite well-known and sometimes not-so-well-known performers from around the world, particularly based in the United States, but they come from elsewhere as well. And in the case of this particular group, you come from various places. First, thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem.
Nora Rendell has been my contact, and you're from Canada?
Yes, the West Coast.
The West Coast, specifically Vancouver?
Yes.
And how did you hook up with all of the rest of these folks who, well, now, you have a guest with you.
We do. Yvonne Hernandez, who's also from the West Coast. She's from Victoria, British Columbia, and she's playing with us on this tour.
We still have Ireland represented.
We sure do.
Do we still have Scotland represented?
We do.
With two people.
Yes.
Okay. And who have we left out?
Cape Breton.
Cape Breton. That's your...
The East Coast of Canada. Maddie Rankin.
Regular fiddler.
Yes.
So where's she?
She is actually, ironically, out on the West Coast working.
Well, why is she working with you?
She's got better things to do.
No, she just wasn't able to come on this particular tour for various reasons. But we're really happy to have Yvonne, and she's just fitting in perfectly with the band. She's got a big job playing fiddle and singing backing vocals and dancing for our live show. So she's just doing an amazing job.
Well, I was going to ask if she danced, because I saw that Maddie does.
She does.
And so needs an able replacement.
Yeah.
We won't be doing any dancing today, though. It would be not conducive to good sound, and it wouldn't sound like much anyway on a carpeted surface. So anyway, back to my question. How did you all find each other?
Well, in 2005, I moved to Ireland to go and do a master's in traditional Irish music on the flute at a place called it's the University of Limerick, but a small part of it, part of their arts department is called the Irish World Academy of Music and Dance. And that's where all of the band members met, and we just started playing together very quickly after we got there, just by chance. I think Fiona and Ailey met and got along well because they were both Scottish. And then Ailey wanted to start a band, so we started playing together really quickly and started touring that summer and have been touring ever since. So we don't live in Limerick anymore, all of us. Killian still does. But the rest of us are far-flung. We're all over the place in Edinburgh, up in the Highlands of Scotland. Yvonne actually is in Boston. And then I actually live in St. Paul, in St. Paul, Minneapolis. And that's how I got to know Dean, actually, was touring through, coming through here with my husband, Brian Miller. We released an album a few years ago and toured through the Midwest with it. And that's when I came to Champaign the first time.
And Dean is Dean Karras, who is the organizer, founder of the Piper's Hut Concert Series. And he's sitting in here with us. He doesn't have a microphone with him, though, but he's waving. He's waving at everybody. Well, why don't we just launch right into a tune, and then we'll chat some more. What would you like to do first?
Great. Well, why don't we have we'll have Ailey, our harpist, introduce this tune.
We're going to play a set of jigs for you. The first two are traditional jigs, one from Ireland and then the second one from Scotland. And then the third tune is a tune that I wrote, and it's a jig called Swerving for Bunnies. And it was written after a tour that we did in Scotland and an incident involving us, our car, a small family of rabbits in the middle of the road, and then a roadside ditch that we ended up in. And we had to get a farmer with a tractor to come and pull us out of this ditch. So the tune was written after that.
Will we find during the course of the song what happened to the bunnies?
The bunnies were all fine.
Oh, good. Okay.
We were a six-piece band once, though.
Down to five now. Well, sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you saved the bunnies.
Thank you.
So I was listening for the dramatic moment when you ended up in the ditch. But it's not that descriptive, I guess.
I think it might be from the bunny's perspective. They're just blissfully leaving the road.
Yeah, I could imagine that a little bit better. Than, you know, bunny's just sort of, oh, well, I guess we got out of that. Let's just keep moseying along. It was the outside track here on Live and Local. They are Nora Rendell, who was on the flute and whistle, and Ailey Robertson on the harp, who wrote the last tune, Fiona Black on accordion, hoping I'm still getting his name right, Killian O'Dalag.
Perfect.
Well, thank you very much. Guitar. And Yvonne Hernandez on the fiddle, not dancing, but you can see her dance and probably presumably hear her dance as well tonight at 8 o'clock when the whole band is going to be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. And you can get more information on the band at theoutsidetrack.com. Actually, you know, my next question is really for Yvonne as the guest. How often have you played with this group? Is this your first time around or not?
I heard them before, and I've had their recordings, and I don't know. We just kind of rehearsed when we all met up, and before we started touring.
Which was what? How long ago?
About a week.
Less than a week ago.
So
she's doing a great job.
I've had a crash course in outside track. But
how long did you have to learn how many tunes?
A little while, I guess. I don't know. I just kind of had their CD, and I saw them in concert earlier a few months back, and yeah, I don't know.
She's a quick study.
It's been a quick study.
We had a crash course. She was saying crash course because we were down at Folk Alliance in Memphis, which is a big conference for folk musicians. And so we arrived on a Wednesday and practiced Wednesday night. And then we had all these 20-minute showcases, a whole bunch of them. So we would practice all our material in our hotel room, then go downstairs in the lobby, run it all to try and get people to come to our showcases.
Bothering people, basically.
And then we would go and do it up in the showcase. So it was actually a really perfect way of getting through a bunch of material to practice for our actual shows that started on Sunday night. But she's been a real quick study. There's been a lot to learn. I think it's about 18 or 19 numbers all together, and that's dancing and singing and fiddle. So she's...
Well, I'm just always amazed by so many traditional musicians who are able to pick things up because I don't play anything by ear. It's only anything that I read. I'm a very good reader, but beyond that, forget it. And especially in Irish music where the lines are mostly in unison. Yeah. And if you get one of the notes wrong,
stands out.
It's going to stand out. I mean, I guess, Killian, you're the exception. You just get to sort of fill in the chords.
Yep, that's my thing.
And actually, I'm trying to remember who, it was somebody else on one of your concerts, Dean, and I'm not going to remember who it was. Guitar and, I think it was guitar and fiddle, but the guitarist was saying that he almost felt like he didn't need to know the tunes so much as just know the chords and fill things in. I mean, do you find that to be true or not really?
I would say that that's the case, but I guess it's like the whole art of backing or accompanying Irish music is knowing the tune in your head. Like for me, I'm a melody player first and a guitar player second, so I would be familiar with lots and lots of tunes that we play anyway, but I suppose the trick to many, many accompanying players is to like be familiar with tunes that you've heard over the years of experience, like when you're playing, you know, accompanying tunes. So then when you're, you know, like it's not just knowing the cards, but knowing where to put the cards and when certain cards are fitted or suited, you know what I mean? It's like there's one thing playing a tune in G, but then there's another thing playing a certain tune in G, as in, you know, every tune has its own suited chords that would be best fitted for that tune, you know?
When you say you're a melody player first, on the guitar or on something
flute,
else?
Sorry.
On the flute.
Yeah, flute is my first instrument, but when I joined the band, there was already a flute player, so I didn't feel like competing with her for that.
Well, do you ever do flute duets?
We haven't actually ventured down that road yet, but it's something that we have been thinking about trying to sort something out, if we can get down that road.
We had a band here that had played down in Charleston, down in the Fine Arts Center, and I'm blanking on their name too, but they had really quite a light show with them and everything else, and they had sometimes flute trios.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't fluke, was it?
No. No, I'll probably think of it during. Okay. I'll work on thinking
flutes
of it during the next
time. Flutes sound fantastic together, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. They did some duets, and they did happen to have three of them that played flute, and I think there were only six people in that band.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Maybe they borrowed the one that you lost with the bunnies. I don't know. I'll think of the name of that. Of that
group
in yeah. it a little bit. It's funny, it's not the name of a group so much as it is the name of the show. I do remember that. But in any event, I'm going to take this moment while I'm sort of trying to think of it to say that support for WILL and Live and Local today comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And if I can't think of the group name,
it's not Celtic Crossroads.
Yes, that's it was. Okay. Celtic Crossroads. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend actually played that.
Your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, she was in that show.
Who was that?
The banjo player and the singer.
Lisa
Kenny.
Yeah.
She might have been with the show then, or she may not have been.
I don't remember a banjo player, actually.
They have Isaac Alderson as their main flute player and Piper.
Yeah, he was.
They were just through a couple weeks ago, right?
No, it was last year sometime.
Oh, that was last year.
I think it was last year, yeah. But if they were, they didn't tell me, in which case I'm really irritated. We had them in here, and we had them here, early in the morning, because we had to pre-record them.
Okay, because they were on their way.
And they were all just really sleepy, especially the guitarist. And I remember asking the band kind of coordinator, I said, is he going to be okay? He said, oh, he's always like that. He'll be fine. And then as they started playing, he perked right up. Well, let's have you play something else.
Yeah. Great.
Which will be?
Yeah, this is a song called The Turkish Reverie. And it's a traditional song that's traveled all over England and Scotland and Ireland, and then over here to the States and Canada. But this particular version comes from a friend of mine, Dahi Sproul, who lives up in St. Paul. And I think I met him.
I think he was on here.
He might have been through. Yeah. He plays with He plays with Liz Carroll quite a bit. And I'm sure he's been through here before. He's a wonderful musician and somewhat local, even though he's from Derry. The Turkish Reverie is a song that I learned from him. He recorded this on his solo album called Heart of Glass with Liz Carroll quite a few years ago. So it's about the sinking of a ship and two very bad men.
The outside track here on Live and Local.
Oh, Captain, Captain, what'll you give me? If I will sink the Turkish Reverie, if I sink her in the low, if I sink her in the low down, gold and silver shining so bright, and the fairest daughter you'll wed her tonight. If you sink her in the low, if you sink her in the low down, low down, if you sink her in the low down, don't submit low. So he buried his breast and he swam with the tide, and he bore three holes in the other ship's side, and he sank her down, he sank her in the low down, lonesome low. Then he buried his breast and he swam with the tide, and he swam right back to his own ship's side, as she sailed in the low down, low down, as she sailed in the low down, lonesome low. Captain, Captain, take me on board. If you don't, you've got to forfeit your word. For you promised in the low down, low down, low down. You swore in the low down, lonesome low.
sailor boy, don't appeal to me, for you drowned 50 souls when you sank the Reverie, and you drowned them in the lowdown, 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 you drowned them in the lowdown, low, so low. If it wasn't for the love that I held for you, man, I'd drown you the same as I drowned them. And I'd sink you in the lowdown, lowdown, lowdown. I'd drown you in the lowdown, lonesome, low. So he buried his breath, so down sank he. And he sank way down to the bottom of the sea. And he drowned.
The outside track here on Live and Local. Did you say that's a traditional tune?
It is. It's a traditional song arranged by the outside track.
Once anyway, yeah.
I was going to say, with many twists to it, it didn't sound like traditional to me.
Yeah, it's the music probably that doesn't sound traditional, right?
No, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of gets into the crux of what we're all about as a band and as musicians together.
Which is
really taking, I mean, the title of our album is called Curious Things Given Wings, and that kind of refers to us rooting around in old books, especially for the songs, rooting around in old books and old recordings and trying to find little gems and then bringing them to the band and arranging them so that it's got a real more modern sound.
Might I say giving them wings?
Giving them wings.
Letting them fly.
Letting them fly. Yeah, kind of bringing them back. And we also do some modern compositions as well. Actually, a lot of our instrumentals are modern compositions. But we all have very different influences in our, you know, in our musical tastes. And we get a real kick out of arranging the music, which is just putting it, you know, it's putting all the instruments together, you know, and we each bring our own musicianship to the tunes and the songs and try and make something. Well, it ends up being, I don't know, whatever it is. We kind of have our own sound now since we've done this for quite a while. And yeah, that's kind of what we do.
What about the name The Outside Track? Is that sort of getting at the same idea?
Yes, kind of. It actually comes from a song. It was a song put to the words of a poem by Henry Lawson, and a well-known folk song called The Outside Track, and that was the first tune or first song that we ever did as a band. And it's now one that we actually don't have in our repertoire anymore, but we liked the name. We thought it maybe gave that across, you know, it's The Outside Track, something we're not as obvious as you might think, you know, we really try and get into the subtleties of the music and just something a little bit other than what you might go to expect when you hear an Irish band. We hope that maybe we bring a little bit more to the table than just very strict traditional music.
I might just jump in here. See, I'm only in the band 2 years now. The band has been running 5 years now. I'm only in the band 2 years. And when I first heard the name The Outside Track, to me, what it struck me as was, like, the first thing that came to my head was coming up the outside lane, let's say on a race course or something, like the underdog kind of thing. And for me, it kind of felt like, since the band is Canadian, Scottish and Irish, it's kind of all of the above and none of the above. So it's almost hard for us to fit into any of those markets because, you know, like, we're not distinctly any one of those three. So for us, we might feel, or we could be seen somewhat as the underdog coming up the outside track. Ba-dum-tsh.
You're the guy with the punchline.
Yeah, that's all
I've got. Oh, you need to come to our show and hear Killian's jokes. There's jokes galore from
jokes
this
galore.
Oh, is that part of the show?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, they're not very funny, but it's kind of, they always seem to get more of an awe factor than a ha-ha factor.
Well, that can be part of the, that's part of the entertainment value.
Definitely, and I think that's something about our shows that people enjoy. You know, we have a great time together, and I think that really shows on the stage, and it's nice varied performance. If people come along tonight, they'll see that there's the tunes, there's singing, there's dancing, there's Killian's jokes. You know, there's just a lot of interaction between us all on various things, and that's why we do this. I mean, we absolutely love being up on stage performing together, and I think that, you know, the feedback we always get from our audiences is that they can really tell that they can tell that we love playing together. So yeah, hopefully people will see that tonight.
Well, and they can see you up close, because it's a fairly intimate venue at the Independent Media Center, and kind of a funky one as well. And the concert starts at 8 o'clock. It's located in the old post office building in downtown Urbana, just attached to Lincoln Square Mall. And the outside track is on the Piper's Hot Concert Series. Nora, you had said earlier that at least four of you met, and your fifth regular person, which town was it? Limerick.
Yes.
Were you all on a course there?
We were. Two of us were doing a master's degree, Ailey and I, and then actually our original fiddle player was not Maddie Rankin. Our original fiddle player was Patricia Clark from England, actually. But Killian, Alan Jordan, our original guitar player, and Fiona and Patricia were all doing a Bachelor of Arts degree there at the same kind of academy. And we were all studying there.
So three of you are original members.
Yes. Three of us are original members.
And then Killian had come in, and Maddie, and then Yvonne is joining for this tour, and who knows, some future tour, and who knows,
If,
you just never know what's going to happen. But I was curious, when you study traditional Irish music, is there a theory of traditional Irish music? Like, there's a theory of classical music, mm-hmm. And to
jazz
an extent, there's theory
now.
Of jazz, yeah.
No, there's not. No, there isn't.
So what do you do? Just sit around in a room and listen to tunes and see how fast you can learn them?
Traditional music is a very, very oral tradition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a huge amount of it is listening. And, you know, if a classical musician goes and finds a book of Irish tunes and starts to play them, they won't sound anything like an Irish player, because you don't get that from the written down music. You have to listen and listen and listen until you really hear all the subtleties. And, you know, a tune can look just 16 bars, very, very simple on the page. But once you get all the ornamentation in and you really get the feel for, you know, even just within Ireland, the regional styles are so different. So you've got to really get the feel for how that tune should sound properly. And you go back and you listen to archive recordings of the old guys playing 100 years ago. And so it's just a very different way to learn music. I've studied a lot of classical music in my life as well. And it's just an entirely different method of learning. It's very, very orally based.
And, you know, theories always come after the music has been made.
Oh, sure.
You know, and so I suspect in the next 50 years there probably will be some theoretical books written about traditional Irish music. But the wonderful thing about it is that it's a living oral tradition. Mm. And there's a living line that goes back to its origins. So people, and you know, Ailey was talking about listening a lot. It's, you know, there is a really intense study. And the study is... it's learning about ornamentation and bowing styles, or listening to the old piping tradition and the old harp, you know, some of the old harp music. We're looking at scores of harp. I mean, the harp tradition actually did get written down a little bit. And then listening to a lot of the recordings that were made in the States in the 20s and 30s. The music almost did die out in Ireland. And some of the recordings that were made here in the States, in New York, mostly in New York, are credited for really keeping a lot of the tradition alive, because those wax cylinders made their way back over to Ireland, and people in Ireland actually learned a lot of tunes off of the recordings of Irish immigrants that had moved over here. So there's a really wonderful and interesting relationship between the traditional Irish music scene in the States and the Irish music scene in Ireland.
Mm. Well, I had no idea that it went back that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And now there's actually an Irish American scene that's kind of independent or somewhat culturally separate, and I mean related but culturally distinct to the Irish music scene in Ireland, which is also kind of, I find it fascinating, because I never knew about the Irish American scene being from Canada until I moved here.
Just to get back to as well what you said about the living tradition, as in that it's a living tradition and stuff, and that it's like, to bring it down to the theory of Irish music, I would almost go so far as to say that it would be near on impossible to play an Irish tune the same way twice, just in terms of things like phrasing or dynamics or something. Like, it's the tunes themselves are almost like they have a life of their own. You know what I mean? It's like every tune, you can play the same tune 16 to 20 times and it will probably sound different every single time. Like, there could be one little ornament different, or one little phrase could be a little longer than it was before, or do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, the dynamics could be going up and down as well. It's the thing that kind of comes from, I run the risk of sounding awfully cheesy here, but it's the thing that really does come from within. It's not something you can study from book or from paper. You know what I mean? It's something you kind of have to grow into.
Yes, I think that's one of the big differences between traditional music and classical music. Like, when you're studying classical music, a lot of it is trying to get down to the heart of what the composer really wanted and what they really intended. And if you're playing a piece by Bach, you have to know exactly what Bach meant when he wrote down every single note and play it in you're really trying to get into the style and into the heart of that composer. And if you were going to play something by Beethoven, you know, it'd be entirely different. But once again, you're trying to put yourself into the composer's shoes rather than really put yourself across a lot of the time. Whereas with Irish music or with traditional music, you have these very simple structures, but it's much more about putting your own personality into it, or really, really making it personal to you. And that's one of the things that really attracts me to it, especially, you know, with harp music, there are no hard and fast rules about what I have to do with my left hand or with the accompaniments. It's very personal, and that's what I think makes traditional musicians really interesting to listen to, because everybody's very different. You're never going to hear two recordings of the same tune that sound similar.
It's very open to interpretation by each artist.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's a very different type of study.
But then going back to an earlier question or comment I had about the playing unison together, I guess asking Yvonne about learning so quickly. So if you have to learn the tune as the tune, you know, the notes are here in this order and so on, so that everybody can play them the same, more or less. From performance to performance, how then does it vary?
Well, and get
and have everybody do it together?
Mm-hmm. Well, as in any kind of music, it depends how educated the listener is as to what they hear. And it's the same with classical music. I mean, it's very, very similar, actually. You know, I studied classical music for years, and I was a recorder player, did a degree in Baroque and Renaissance music, where the lines between composer, artist, and, you know, music itself are blurred, quite blurred, and in the same way that they are in traditional music. You know, there's always the music itself, the composer, what they intended, and then the musician and what they play. And those things are all really blurred, and I just totally lost my train of thought because I was going to answer your question. What was your question?
Oh, about how we sort of
play together.
Yeah.
So there's real extremes, as like some people like to play exact notes, exact ornaments, exactly the same, and exact versions, and they might even come up with variations. As like, you usually play a tune three times in a row at least. So some people like to, you know, have all, they'll decide, okay, second time through B part, we're going to hold that A longer, and we're going to breathe here, blah, blah, blah. So it's a real extreme, and the Kayleigh bands would be the extreme of everybody doing exactly the same thing. Mm. So when you go to if you went to the FLA in Ireland, which is the biggest competition that happens once a year, the Kayleigh bands play note for note exactly the same thing, and they often don't ornament very much. It's really note, 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 note. And actually, Patty O'Brien, who lives up in the Twin Cities, his style is a lot like that. He likes everybody playing exactly the same note. But if you recorded us playing a tune, and we do play the same notes most of the time, we're intending to play the same notes. Mm. Just the difference between what the fiddle style, her, you know, Yvonne's bowing, her ornamentation, when she might kind of make a pause, or where she might have her phrasing, and then Fiona's, the kind of ornamentation that suits accordion, and then me playing flute and whistle, I'd be breathing in certain places, which affect the notes I play. I might leave some out. I might add some. You know, I might put a roll here, and then the next time through, I'll put three notes instead of a roll. So we're playing the same thing, but if it was transcribed, if you transcribed it, you would have these three extremely complicated lines that would not look the same. Mm-hmm. But if you heard them, they sound the same to most people, you know. But the fiddle player listening would hear something different than the flute player listening, because of the way they would listen, you know. There's, I don't know if that kind of answers the question.
There's a kind of an organic chemistry that kind of bonds musicians together after they've played together for a while. Like, let's say musicians who have never met before, and they sat down together to play in a pub to play a few tunes. it would take a little while before they would actually like gel, as in like one person could have a pulse that kind of leans on the backbeat, whereas another musician could have a pulse that leans on the front beat or, you know, on the upbeat. And it takes a little while before the music can kind of settle in amongst all the musicians that are playing together. And then they would all, like, over time, that chemistry is formed, that bond is formed. And then that's kind of, if you were to take all this individual musicians and record their bits separately, they would all be playing very different. But when you put them all together, then it creates another sound that none of them can do by themselves, if you know what I mean. It's
sure.
It's a very organic thing.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear the organism of the outside track in another tune.
Okay. You probably hear something that's not actually too traditionally organic in this sense. So this next piece we're going to play, it's something a little bit more modern. The first tune I actually wrote myself. It's named after Krusty the Clown, not from The Simpsons, but this other clown that we met up in, was it Montreal?
Yes.
Up in those regions. And he was a clown who to us wasn't very funny because he did his act in French. And we, of course, didn't. But anyway, and the second tune is a tune called The Panic, which it's just such a, I don't know, how would you describe the tune? Such a, such a driver tune, such a high power tune that oftentimes it can lead the musician playing it to panic. On that note,
here we go. Thank you.
One of the things I always have trouble with as a listener of Irish music is when somebody says, okay, we played, do these two tunes, is noticing, well, when did the one become the other?
The crossover, is it, from one tune to the other?
Yeah.
Often there's a key change at that point. That's one thing that you try to do when you put sets together is go from a tune in one key into a tune in another key, and that change of key gives us a slightly different feel, a different brightness to the next tune that follows. So that's one way to do it. In that set we just played, for example, we had a change of time signature from 7/8 into 4/4, so that's kind of another clear signal that you can use. There's all sorts of little tricks that you can use to just to alert the listener that that's what's happening. But once again, it's same with ending. The more you listen, the more you hear.
Sure. And do you often deliberately pair tunes that do have close similarities so that they work well together?
We probably wouldn't as such, but other people would. It depends. It's a kind of a stylistic thing. Like some, I'm going to say Irish tradition musicians, just because that's my field of expertise, but some musicians aim for tunes that are in the same key and that could very much sound alike, just because they feel like, since they sound alike, you know, why not play them together, since they could be almost sister tunes or brother tunes, you know. But then other people who, I guess we go to play more to entertain the audience, and a lot of times 50% of your audience, maybe more, maybe less, could either be experienced in your music or not at all, like in the music that we're playing. So, you know, either we like to keep our tune changes obvious, and, you know, keep it, what is it, what's that great saying? Variety is the spice of life, you know. So for us, we kind of get a kick out of entertaining an audience, you know what I mean? Whereas other people, it sounds like I'm accusing people of not trying to play to their audience, but that's not what I'm saying.
They get more into the, I guess, into the styles and the some people go for the groove or you know, it's part of the artistry of it, I suppose, is what tunes do you put together and what's your take on it. And we have a bunch of different takes on it. And also we like in that particular number, we wrote a transition in between. Like we vamp for a while in between just to get into the groove of the next tune. So often you don't know when you're going from one tune to the next. Even if you're really, really experienced, sometimes you don't notice because it's so seamless.
Well, my question too might be somewhat a commentary on my own short attention span.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I tuned out for a little while and then I tuned back in, and then is that the same tune? Is that a different tune? I don't know. But either way, it sounded great. I mean, I really enjoyed listening to both the tunes as played here by The Outside Track on Live and Local, live in our studio. You can go out and hear them live and see them tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. They're playing at the Urbana Champaign Independent Media Center on South Broadway in Urbana. And our show today is made possible with support from, if I can get this other piece of paper out of the way, the Metropolitan Opera, continuing its series of live opera in high definition at neighborhood theaters. On Saturday, February 26th, the Met in HD presents Gluck's Iphigenie en Tauride. For more information, visit metopera.org. I do not understand French either, but I did have to practice.
That was good.
Practice that, yeah. I happened to hear part of the Met broadcast on Saturday, and they said that name several times. And so I sort of had to work that out. One other quick question. I hope it'll be quick because we can let you get another couple of tunes in here. But I noticed just looking through biographies, specifically for Killian and Yvonne, if I have the right Yvonne Hernandez, because your bio, of course, wasn't on their website, so I had to Google you. Is your father Chilean?
Yeah.
Then it must be the right one, presumably. Yeah. You bring that, presumably some element of that musical background, because he was a musician, was he not?
Yep.
And you have, Killian, a German mother.
I do.
Now, I don't know if she was a musician or not. I noticed that you play in a family band, which includes your father, who was Irish.
Well, suppose the story to go with that would be my father went to Germany to be, he was a Bauron player and a dancer for this band, and they were going when he was like 19 or 20, and they were hoping to go on tour for 3 months, and then 19 years later he comes back with 4 sons and a wife. So it kind of worked out pretty well for him over there. And then when we came back to Ireland,
you know, if you like women. No.
So things are going well for him. So yeah, then when he came back, I think the reason why he wanted to move his family back was because he wanted his sons to play Irish music. And of course there wasn't much opportunity for us to do that in Germany. So when I was at the age of 8, we came back to Ireland, and ever since then we kind of just all started learning to play music. And then gradually, as the years progressed, we started playing in some, you know, tourist banquets and shows and things, entertaining tourists. And I guess over time this band has just always been in existence in the family, you know what I mean?
It's not called Traz.
Called Traz, exactly. Yeah.
Would you say there's any German influence in your music making?
It would be hard to admit that.
Because you don't want to, or because it's just not there?
It's definitely not there, no. Yeah. I mean, German folk music is very, very different to Irish traditional music. So, I'd be lying if I said there was.
Okay, well, we don't want you to lie on the show. This is a very truthful show.
I'm honest guy.
I should have told you that up front. And Yvonne, what about the Chilean music? Does that show up in your music making? Because we're just hearing you play this, but I noticed that you play a lot of other kinds of things too.
Yeah. Well, my dad plays a lot of traditional South American music and instruments from the Andes. And so when I was little, he'd teach me the cuatro and the charango and the zampoñas and stuff. So I grew up listening to that. I never really listened to pop music until I was a teenager. And so I grew up playing the violin, playing classical and fiddle, because my mom's from the East.
I was going to say, your left-hand technique looks very classical on the violin.
Yeah, I studied classical. Like, I started when I was 3, and I did a degree in violin performance. But as soon as I learned how to play, I started listening to tapes of Cape Breton fiddle players and just started learning tunes, because you start learning by ear in the Suzuki method. And so I just started playing fiddle music. So fiddle was always during the summers, and classical was during the school year. So I'd be playing nonstop, just different styles, and they complement each other very well. And then with that, learning the other instruments and other styles of music, and Latin music, that really came into play a lot, especially when I started creating my own music and doing my own bands and, you know, arranging things and dancing as well. Some of the different rhythms and ideas that there are in Latin music is kind of a cool crossover, even though it might be weird to think about it. But
have you been tempted or inadvertently broken into some completely different rhythm when you're dancing with these guys?
Well,
we have yet to see that, but tonight I'd be happy if you did.
I might just bust
consider that a
tonight.
Challenge. Consider that a challenge.
All right. Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
It's interesting, as traditional music becomes more and more popular, more and more kind of fusion projects are springing up, and certainly in Scotland there's a band called Salsa Celtica, which fuse Scottish Celtic music with Latin American music, and there's various other things. There's a Gaelic singer who sings with a beatboxer back home, and you know, there's all sorts of different collaborations springing
up. Afrikaans sound system.
Yeah, Afrikaans sound system.
The name says it all,
again,
really.
Similar things. So it's really interesting. It's such a flexible style of music that really you can fuse it with a lot of different things and make for very interesting projects.
I just did an interview yesterday, which will air, I guess, probably next week sometime, for a blues show, and the fellow said that he did a solo record that included his brother on a few tracks, and his brother is a rapper.
Right.
And this guy is a blues drummer. Oh. Or actually, in this case, he was a guitarist on his own solo record, so I'm just trying to
imagine how that works.
I have to go hear it, I guess. Yeah. Yep. So, well, what do you got in store for us next?
We were going to sing a song called Caroline of Edinburgh Town. And this is...
One or two.
Do we have one or should we do two?
You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Should we do Le Voyage then? Or do you want to do something?
Sure, there's a rock out towards
the end.
Okay,
we're not going to do Caroline of Edinburgh Town.
I wanted to hear your voice again. Well, I'll have to save that for tonight.
Yeah. If you want to hear Caroline of Edinburgh Town, you can come to the Independent Media Center tonight. We actually normally do about half songs and half tunes. So this next tune we'll finish off with Le Voyage, which is a fantastic tune. This is the same tune. It's a four-part tune that we play three times around. So if any of you want to try and keep track, go for it. I don't recommend it. but this is it was written by a wonderful accordion, button accordion player from Quebec named Eric Saint-Pierre. And it's a very popular tune in Quebec these days, but it's a new composition. I think it was composed about 10 years ago. So here you go, Le Voyage.
Outside track on Live and Local. You can go out and hear them at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. For more information, go to pipers-hut.com and theoutsidetrack.com. The Outside Track are Nora Rendell on the flutes, as we just heard, also the vocalist. And I was looking for the opportunity to repeat this quote here. Her singing left me goose pimpled all over, said at least one newspaper somewhere along the line. Ailey Robertson on the harp, Fiona Black on accordion, Killian O'Dalig on guitar, and Yvonne Hernandez on the fiddle. Thank you all very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure to have you. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world by the glass and by the bottle. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from noon to 4. Information is available at 217-337-7704 or on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar, and that's B-U-V-O-N-S. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. On tomorrow's show, The Man of La Mancha and a little bluegrass.